This is the iPhone LA Podcast, episode 10, for June 28th, 2008. Welcome to the iPhone LA Podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and this is the show that discusses all things iPhone. For the latest iPhone news, tips, and reviews every day, check out iPhoneLA.com. And joining me tonight from the Mac Observer and the iPod Observer is Mr. Jeff Gamet. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good to be here.
Yes, it's definitely good to be back. I sat down to do the I'm sorry, but we're not going to do one this week thing last week. And I was kind of sad because I didn't have a podcast to do. But so it's good to be back.
Yeah. You know, and it gave you an evening to go do something else, like see a movie.
Yeah.
I drink. I don't know. Whatever it is that you do.
I think I cried myself
to
sleep.
I feel like I know you better now that you've started using Quick, and I've been able to see all around the massive techno empire that is iPhone LA.
Yeah, the iPhone LA towers south.
Right.
I don't think I mentioned this last week because I got it. I don't know. Because I didn't do a show last week, obviously. So the guys at Quick, and we talked about it before, they're doing a beta version of their Quick client for the iPhone. So they hooked me up with an alpha version, and I'm trying it out. So it's very cool. If you don't know what Quick is, it's live streaming video from your cell phone. It's very cool. I think one of the biggest phones that was used with the service for a while was the Nokia N95. So you bring up the Quick application, you hit go, and you're literally streaming immediately. You can see what you're streaming, but you can also have people watch it live, of course, and they can chat back, and you see that happening on the screen right there. So it's very cool. It's very alpha right now, but it's going to be awesome when it's done and on the App Store. And next we have Bill Palmer from iProng Magazine. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I walked out of a bar last night and forgot to pay for my drinks and had to go back later and settle up. So I'm not in jail, and that's a good thing.
Hooray.
That's good.
I wasn't even drunk. I was just being an idiot.
Well, we're glad you're not in jail, Bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that for all the world to know.
We have Twitter, so we could get you out of jail somehow, right?
Yeah, if Twitter had been working, I could have posted, but no one would have seen the replies tab, so
right.
I would have had... Yeah.
It makes you wonder how that kid in Egypt got out of jail with Twitter.
If that had happened a month later, he'd still be there.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, and finally from Elanced, Mr. Nick Dalton is our guest iPhone developer. Hey, Nick, how are you?
I'm doing very good. Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. And where are you calling from?
I'm in Evergreen, Colorado, up in the Rocky Mountains.
Okay, cool.
You're like my neighbor. How about that? I'm in Westminster.
Very cool.
And I know you, the Elance guys scheduled you for the interview, but what other kind of applications do you work on?
Well, actually, I'm not an Elance employee. I'm an Elance provider. So I've done some work for Elance, but most of my work I do get from the Elance kind of marketplace where people post projects and you bid on them and... hopefully get them.
Gotcha.
And I've done probably 25 different iPhone apps to date, a lot of them through Elance, but also other clients.
Very cool.
So one of the more prominent clients is the Chicago Tribune, which I built a couple of apps for, which are advertisement supported using location-based and time-sensitive ads to show instant offers to people. And in return, they get information about their daily commute or their daily zodiac or something interesting like that.
Great. Well, I guess we're already talking about it. We usually do the interview toward the end of the show, but let's just do it now since we're already into it. I know you did an application for Elance, correct?
I did some work for Elance, which I unfortunately cannot talk to about in detail.
Okay. Do you have any favorite applications that you've developed so far that you want to talk about?
There's a company called Lingolook. They develop language cards, like a deck of cards that you bring with you when you travel to a foreign country and you don't know the language. So you kind of shuffle through your deck and it says, how do I get to a train station? And you kind of show it to somebody and they will hopefully direct you there. So I did a iPhone version of that, a little bit more high tech, where you can select your phrases through various menus and icons. And then you at the end, you see a little card, you can tap it and it speaks the phrase in the foreign language.
Neat.
So that's it.
So you said that you've developed about 20 applications for the iPhone so far. What do you think of it? Where did you start development? Have you been doing Mac OS X development in the past before the iPhone? And how do you like the SDK and all of that?
So I'm a Java developer. I was an enterprise Java architect for about 10 years, building large automotive websites like Toyota.com, Nissan, and Mazda's websites. So I got on the Mac bandwagon and iPhone bandwagon just this year. So no prior OS X development experience, no prior Objective-C. It was just jumping in with both feet and starting writing code and figuring it out.
Very cool. So you came in for the iPhone fun.
Correct.
Great. And are you using a Mac now, or were you using one before?
I bought a Mac a couple of months before the announcement, anticipating that it would be a Mac-only platform.
Cool. So you're enjoying the Mac now, or?
Absolutely.
Great.
I was set on getting a Mac. I was just fed up with Windows and spending more time working with a computer than actually getting work done. So I was set on getting a Mac anyway, and this just had to happen to coincide in time with the iPhone SDK release.
Excellent. And had you been using an iPhone prior to your application development?
Oh, yeah. I was one of the alpha geeks who stood in line and got one on the first day. And I actually wrote a book about the iPhone called 101 iPhone Tips and Tricks. So I was into iPhone even before you could develop for it.
Excellent. And where do you see, what do you think of the SDK and, you know, where iPhone development is going and, you know, the new iPhone with GPS and all of that? What do you see down the line for, you know, what do you think is the killer app for the iPhone?
I don't think we know that yet. I don't presume to know what the killer app is.
Well, what do you think it will be? What do you think it will revolve around? Is it, you know, more location-based stuff or more search-type stuff or, you know, that kind of thing?
I think location-based will definitely be part of it. I think the always connected is going to be an important part as well. I don't think all the social location-based social networking apps that we see coming out, I don't think that's the killer app. They're pretty cool, but I don't see much utility in it.
So what would you want to see for an iPhone app? What kind of what are you missing on your iPhone that you want to see?
Not much, because I've built quite a few things that I've been missing. But I think more access into private networks, more access to data other than having to go through Safari,
mm-hmm.
and kind of combining that in useful ways.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, because I'm rooting for the social networking stuff, and that's, you know, partially because I'm younger and I'm getting into the whole Web 2.0 thing, and I'm dazzled by shiny objects. So, I think we all are, and that's why we're Mac people, right?
Absolutely, nothing wrong with that.
Yes. Okay. Do you guys have any questions for Nick, Bill, or Jeff?
Yes, I do. So, Nick, you said that you're not really missing anything on your iPhone because you wrote apps to fill in the blanks. So what do those apps do?
What do they do? There's pretty much everything I've done. To-do list apps, which is kind of a glaring hole
mm-hmm.
in the iPhone. Right. an obvious one, and there's probably going to be 24 of them on launch day for the App Store.
Definitely.
But one client wanted a to-do list app, and I told him that you're going to be competing with 24 other apps, and he said, I don't care. Mine is going to be better. So that's one item. Lots of several VoIP-type callback things. Tap an icon, and you make a VoIP or a callback phone call to your iPhone.
Cool.
Several language applications, learn languages, have them speak back to you. I did one thing that where you fill in the blank type contract, and it emails the contract to the parties.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. There are some oddities in there. I did story. A college student had a thesis and did a navigation by zooming, which lent itself nicely to the iPhone. So I built an iPhone app to support her thesis.
Interesting. That's very cool. So great. Unless you guys have any other questions for him, I think we can move into to this week's news. We didn't have a whole lot at the beginning of the week, but it sort of started trickling in toward the middle and the end of the week. So first thing I want to talk about is that according to developers, the new iTunes 7.7 beta mentions a remote application in the README file. So and they say, you know, this is for you can control iTunes from this application on your iPhone and iPod Touch, and you can get it for free from the iTunes or the App Store rather. Sounds pretty cool to me. Jeff, do you think this is going to be a really useful application for a lot of people, or do we want to see more functionality out of something like that?
You know, when I was sitting on my couch last night, I was lamenting the fact that I don't have that application right now. So I'm looking forward to seeing that app. And what I'm hoping is that when it actually does appear, that not only does it let you do the whole iTunes controlling thing from anywhere in your house, but that it will also control Apple TV. I think that would just be killer.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And the Apple TV, I have to say, doesn't have a whole lot of power. So I wonder, you know, but it does. They have been expanding the abilities of the Apple TV. Of course, you can do the AirTunes from any computer to Apple TV now. But I wonder if that kind of you know, service it would have to run on the Apple TV, if that would be, you know, too much for it, or if it would. I don't know. I mean, I think it would work. I want to see something more out of an iTunes kind of companion app for the iPhone. I want to be able to, you're running OS 10, so I kind of want to be able to do the streaming from iTunes to your iPhone, or maybe even back the other way, you know?
Yeah, I could see where that would be cool. Like, okay, here's where I see that being really cool. Let's say you go to your friend's house, because all of your music is probably available to you when you're at your place anyhow.
Right.
But you have the cool music that you want to play at your friend's house. Then let your iPhone or iPod Touch join their wireless network and stream the music from that you brought through their speakers.
Right, sort of in the same way that they demoed, you know, having Phil walk over to Steve Jobs' house during the one keynote for the Apple TV. He said, hey, I have my MacBook in this episode of, you know, TV that I want to show you. And, you know, that would be really cool if it, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, having streaming from iTunes to your iPhone. But like you said, if you're already in your house, you already have access to that music. So maybe even bringing that further, so you could use some sort of service on maybe MobileMe or something like that. So you could listen to your music from anywhere using, the sort of magical technology of Back to My Mac, which we all know works so well.
That would be cool. It would also be cool if Back to My Mac worked as reliably as we all want.
I've never, ever, ever gotten that to work. I really wish. It sounded like such a great idea when it came out, but I mean,
you know, for some people it's working great, and others, well, not so much.
I think those are the people who... Go ahead.
my reaction to back to my Mac was that'll never work. And I never think that about an Apple announcement, but I heard that stuff ain't gonna work. And then I don't know. I thought I was just being pessimistic, and then everybody said, yeah, it didn't work. Like, how did I call that? I thought I was just having a bad hair day when I called that one.
Right, and I think that the only people who really get that to work are on a an all Apple everything sort of setup. So they've got, you know, their Mac, and they've got an AirPort Extreme going right into a cable modem or whatever. And I think that's I mean, you have to have, what is it, what's that service that you have to run? Jeff, do you remember what it is? It's the networking service that sort of just kind of makes things happen on the router.
Oh, the Bonjour services?
I don't know if it's Bonjour. It's just something that auto configures, you know, networking and all of that. But yeah, that service has to run, and some routers, such as mine, doesn't have that sort of magical service. So they say, oh, if you open these certain ports and all of that, it'll work. But I've never gotten it to work.
Right.
But there is.
Yeah, that's not Bonjour. That's something else. And I'm embarrassed to say the name escapes me.
UPnP, right? Universal Plug and
there
Play.
There we go.
Yeah. So I think
something abbreviated.
Yeah, it's one of those goofy services. But there is that application, Simplify Media Mobile. The service is it was originally made for I think Mac and PC. Basically, where you just sort of it's a little group of 30 of your friends who can all sort of share your iTunes libraries. It's very cool. And then they made a client for the iPhone, so you can bring up the music from all of your other shared libraries on your iPhone from wherever you are. And it works pretty well as long as your, you know, whatever computer you're streaming from actually has a good up speed. And the application's still kind of flaky, but I'm assuming it's coming to the App Store, and it'll be very cool when it works, because I mean, then you would have an unlimited amount of music on your phone. And I think that they would make it even available over the iPhone 3G, so you wouldn't even have to you know, be on a Wi-Fi network. So that's what I want to see from an iTunes app. I want to see the streaming and the remote control. But remote control would be very cool, especially for Apple TV.
Tell you what, I love this idea is, you know, we're starting to see the iPhone speaker systems now, and I got a couple here, but I don't like to use them. I don't want my iPhone in a dock somewhere, one of them in my pocket, because it's my phone. Right?
Yeah,
So, you know, I've got some old iPods sitting in speaker systems, but then I got to sync them up, and it's a pain because I don't use them for anything else. So more and more and more, I listen to music directly on my computer. I've even hooked up external speakers for the first time in a long time. And yet I do get in that situation of, yeah, I'm laying over on the couch, and it's got to be more than like the MacBook remote, because I can sit there and press pause. If we can get it like an on-screen interface where you can actually sort of see some of the music in there and sort of skip ahead and stuff, and get the playlists and stuff, then I think it would be real value, much more so than it would have been with an iPod.
Yeah, definitely. It would be way more valuable than just a simple, you know, here's your six buttons on the remote, because I think that if Apple is indeed doing this sort of application, I think that they're going to give us the full-on, here is your entire iTunes library, you can browse it however you want to, just like you can on the iTunes interface on your computer, and just in the same way that you can on the iPod on your iPhone as well. It would be even cooler if you could do it through CoverFlow. But, you know, I think that if Apple's doing this, then it'll be a very good controller, definitely. It won't just be, you know, six-button remote type of deal and, you know, that's all you have. And I think, in a way, that would be even better for the Apple TV, because right now you're kind of stuck with the six buttons. You can't skip ahead, you know, by hitting, you know, the first letter of the artist or something like that. So if they made it really integrated into the Apple TV, that would be fantastic. So you could even, like, you know, search for your music. I think the Apple TV needs searching for your music library anyway. But I think that there's a lot of stuff that Apple could do with the iPhone as a remote for the Apple TV and for iTunes as well. So
I think the killer thing about a super remote like this, I mean, most remotes, they call themselves universal, but all they do is send.
Mm-hmm.
When the killer thing about the iPhone is that it can receive data and, just like you say, present a playlist, or you can do some meaningful interaction besides just doing a one-way play, skip, or these menial buttons.
Yeah.
Or if you're in front of a TV, you could see there. But why would you want to be tethered to your TV? You want to have your iPhone in your pocket and just control it from anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be great. Even if you could, you know, even take it a step further and create even a, you know, like an on-the-go playlist for, you know, for your TV, or just, you know, assemble a playlist itself on whatever device you're using, if it's the Apple TV or if it's the if it's iTunes. I think that Apple could do some really, really cool things with it, and that's one of the great things about the iPhone, that it's just, I mean, it's a computer in your pocket, so I'm expecting awesome things from it. So, will we see MMS on the iPhone 3G? According to an AT&T network, an AT&T memo rather, and a carrier in Denmark, we may see MMS. And the story with that is AT&T put out a memo a little bit ago, which mentioned MMS in it, which is the multimedia messaging. And so instead of just SMSs, it would be, you know, pictures and video and all of that. And that's one of the big things that people have been complaining about with the iPhone. It's, you know, it can do so many things, but even I think we talked about this before, that, you know, even the most terrible crap phone that you can buy, can do MMS. So why not the iPhone? You know, this other carrier in Denmark also, just sort of mentioned, in their rate plans for the iPhone 3G, that MMS was not included, but you could add it on. So that's another bit of information that may lead to MMS on the iPhone. But I'm wondering why they didn't mention that at the keynote. Bill, what do you think of it?
I think text messaging has seen its peak, and I think it's on its way out. I also think that Steve really doesn't care about technology like that. I should explain why I think it's on its way out. I think of it as a lot like beepers were when I was in high school in the early 90s. We all had one, and if you didn't have one, you might as well not exist, and we thought we'd have them forever. But the minute cell phones evolved to the point that we didn't have beepers because we could afford a cell phone, and they're small enough, beepers, they were just gone. I think text messaging is just waiting to be killed off by mobile email. And I think the day the iPhone shift with an email client, I think text messaging's days started being numbered then. And I would guess that Steve Jobs probably kind of sees it the same way, except in like a far more extreme way than I do, because he's always looking way toward the future.
Right.
I don't know if that means he's refusing to let them work on it or he's just refusing to talk about it. But it doesn't surprise me that Apple doesn't give a crap about text messaging, because it's a zip drive of mobile technology.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when you say that, you say, okay, well, maybe Steve Jobs just doesn't want, he thinks that SMSs are on the way out in the future, and that, you know, mobile email is the thing. It's kind of hard to think that when, you know, a majority of the phones out there are not iPhones and they aren't smartphones that can do that sort of thing. But, you know, that led me to the thought that, you know, right now Apple has reduced the price of the iPhone to only $200, where everybody can afford one. And, you know, when the iPod started getting down into those really, really affordable prices, that's when they became ubiquitous. And now everybody has an iPod. Nobody has an MP3 player anymore. So Apple kind of dominates the market on that. I think that they could sort of, you know, maybe Steve Jobs is seeing that sort of thing happening, maybe not to such a great majority as the iPod, but I could definitely see that happening. But that also brings me to another thing. You can send video with MMS, and if Steve Jobs wants to do video over MMS, if we're going to have it, or over email, we're going to have some sort of way to record video on the iPhone. I mean, is that something that people want? I think it is.
I think it's something they want right now, but I don't know. It just feels, and this, sometimes I think I'm being an old fart when I say this, but it just sounds like a fad or a passing fancy that until it can be brought out in a way that it's really done well and not just some crappy little 1-inch video flaky looking thing like YouTube quality, that until then it won't really. I don't know. I wish I had something more firm to say on it. I see text messaging, and I'm like, I don't even know if I know how to send a text message. So
oh, you do. You have an iPhone. You just hit the little green button.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's I shouldn't say this, but my dad sends me text messages all the time. That's because he you know, doesn't really use email. So
right.
And so that's – I don't think it's, like, just younger people doing it, but it's people that are just kind of – I don't know. I've seen Apple do it before, though. They kill the floppy early. They're trying to kill Ethernet ports early on the MacBook Air. They do this where they just don't care. And it may not be a philosophical thing. If you look at how much is missing from the iPhone, we're just about to finally get iChat a year later. Where's Flash? It seems like Apple's developers are spread maybe too thin. And if they're going to pass on something, I think that would be the first kind of thing they would pass on, is something that they're hoping will kind of phase its way out.
The video or the SMS? Or the MMS, rather?
I think maybe MMS-based video. Again, I'm far from an expert on text messaging, but MMS doesn't sound like the way that Apple would go about implementing video. Somebody else might be doing it that way, but it seems like Apple would be trying to do something more maybe beefier or substantial for the long term.
So, Nick, what do you think about MMS on the iPhone? Is it a good thing? Do people need it and really want it? And is it something that Apple's going to give us, or is it something on the way out?
I think there's a want for it. I've received several clients asking me, can you write an MMS or similar type application for us? And the sad thing is, if Apple is spread too thin, which I think the developers are, they're just overwhelmed with the interest on the development side. But there's no way for a third-party developer to integrate with MMS or SMS. That's kind of just off limits in the SDK.
Okay.
So third-party developers can't pick up that slack, which is sad, because if there was an interest, then somebody would jump in and build something for it. But in this case, you can't.
Now, on the other hand, developers could write a video recording application with the current SDK, right?
Nope.
No, they couldn't.
Nope. The only way you can interact with the camera is to take a single picture.
Okay, so it's more of the you plug into it the API for the camera and you say I want a picture and the camera or the picture taker panel sort of comes up from Apple. You take the picture and then it returns the picture to you. Is that how it works?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that's too bad.
Yep, I know there's a great little jailbreak app out there that does streaming video, which is really cool, and it's unfortunate that they haven't exposed that in the official API, because we could see some really interesting apps if you could stream video or do video recording on the iPhone.
See,
that's just a whole cornered off area.
That's interesting, because like I said, I was using this Quick application, and right now I'm obviously not using the 2.0 software, so it's not I'm not really sure how they're developing the application, if it's with the correct APIs and all of that. So what you're saying is something like Quick, where it's just looking at video from the camera and sending it to the internet, that can't be done with the official SDK?
That is correct.
Interesting. Okay. I guess we'll have to see how that turns out. but it's really unfortunate that they can't even, interact with that. I can understand definitely, for the most part, developers don't want a lot of complexity with, saying, hey, I want a picture. So they just want to write in a call to that API. But I think that they should allow, more expanded access to those sort of things for developers who want to do more interesting applications.
There are many mysterious omissions in the SDK, and I think they fall in a couple of categories. One is that they don't want to give access to the phone or sending SMS, because imagine if an app decides to send 100 SMS messages in the background, and who's going to pay for that?
Right, exactly.
So that's kind of a billing, monetary liability issues. But when it comes to video recording, I mean, why would they want to limit that? I mean, if you just record video stream and store it on the iPhone, that seems like that would be innocent to do. So I think Apple just ran out of time. I mean, they've done an incredible job. The SDK has been out for like 3 months.
Yeah.
They probably worked on it for a year before that. And I mean, it's an amazing SDK for such an early version of it. So I'm sure we're going to see more in the future, but they just ran out of time and resources.
Yeah, and I think that's why we're going to have to wait until September to see that the badging and the notification service that they're going to be bringing, which sounds phenomenal. But
yeah, that one solves a lot of headaches for developers who want to do background type of processing. That was a really clever announcement and an elegant solution to all the headaches that surround background processing with memory management and battery management and all sorts of things.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about you know, that sort of service happening? We were talking to Dave Hamilton right after the announcement on our wrap up podcast, and he sort of thought that, you know, maybe this won't work as well as they say, because like we see with, you know, stuff with like Back to My Mac and those sort of things. Do you think that, I mean, how much horsepower do they need to get something like that to work? And do you think we'll see problems with that?
It's not a trivial problem to solve. And I mean, if you look at Twitter as an example of something that's way less complex and how difficult they're having to, problem they're having scaling that. So I think Apple is going to roll this out very slowly. It's going to be available in September to the public, presumably. Developers, as far as I know, have not been invited to see what's happening behind the curtains yet.
So you think
But they're probably going to select a few apps or a few providers to begin with to test it out. They're not just going to open the floodgates and overwhelm the service.
Definitely. Well, hopefully that'll work out well. And it's a really, it's a shame about the MMS stuff, definitely. And hopefully we'll see it. Jeff, do you want to jump in and mention anything about MMS? Because I think you've had more experience with it than some of us.
You know, my gut feeling is that these rumors of MMS are wrong. My Jedi instincts tell me it's not coming.
Okay. Well, I trust your Jedi instincts because in my book, you have a huge win for that that picture of the iPhone that you posted a few months ago.
Oh, yeah. I guess I got a few cred points with that, didn't I?
Definitely. You were the only one who had the real picture, right?
Yeah. Which really surprised me. Not that I had them, but that was the only place they showed up.
Yeah,
I really thought that. Well, and I'm also really surprised that I never got a cease and desist from Apple.
Yeah, well, I think they've caught on that. You know, when they send out a cease and desist, we all say, "Oh, well, it must be true." So
right, but they could have sent out a bunch. Yeah.
They were too busy trying to get AT&T to shut up. They were cease and desisting. I trust Jeff's word on the. I have a rule: if AT&T sends out the iPhone, one of two things: ignore them or assume the opposite. I take Jeff's word on the iPhone far before AT&T because they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't seem to communicate internally. I think even.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
So you think the MMS is fakety fake fake fake?
Yep, I'll call fakety fake 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 on iPhone MMS.
Got it. Okay.
So one final thing about the MMS and how it relates to push services. I mean, we talked about that Jobs or Apple doesn't really see a future for SMS and MMS. I mean, this is also a push technology.
True, yeah.
And what I believe is that the push services are not going to be free. And Apple is not getting a lot of money from MMS and SMS. That all goes to AT&T and the other carriers, which make billions of dollars on it worldwide. So I think this is a play to get to use Apple's push service instead and make revenue for Apple.
Got it. Interesting way to look at it. That's very possible. You know, I've never had MMS, and I don't really see a big need for it. It's kind of, you know, whenever I've gotten an MMS from somebody on my phone, it's just like a link or something like that, and I look at it, and it's not something important. So I think it's also a good way to filter out the junk, because it's a lot easier to send junk with MMS, or people who are more inclined to send just like random stuff over MMS. And I think that people will more likely send something of substance over email because it just seems more official. At least that's what I've seen. I've never gotten just a random email with something in there that I didn't want on my phone. So that's just my take on it. And I wanted to point out that we're seeing a lot of carriers announcing voice and data plans and all of that for the iPhone. We haven't seen any from AT&T yet. But that leads me to believe that we'll be seeing them soon from AT&T. I think it's four or five different carriers right now who have announced those plans. But something that I've noticed, and you know, I ranted about you know, not getting free SMSs with the phone, like we do right now, you know, aside from the other things with, you know, no home activation. But I noticed that, with all of these plans, that, you know, from other carriers, they're getting, they're getting SMS messages, but they're not getting unlimited data. And I think the only, only carrier that, got both, was Orange. And I think it was only, 50 SMS messages, but they did have unlimited data, but the rest of them aren't getting unlimited data. So I'm going to say that, I think that, you know, with 2.5G edge stuff, I think AT&T was a little more willing to give give that as an unlimited service along with the SMS messages because it's an older technology. But I think that with 3G, I think that they're less willing to do that. But, you know, so they took away the 200 SMS messages that they were including and still allowed us to get unlimited data. You know, so I'm kind of warming up to the whole idea of, you know, the plan that's rumored for AT&T, because I mean, other carriers aren't getting the best deal. And Jeff, how do you think that these, you know, the people on these other carriers are gonna, you know, feel about getting the iPhone, which is just a huge data hog, especially with 3G and not having an unlimited data plan?
You know, I'm trying to figure out how these carriers convinced Apple to agree to allow limited data plans, because that was one of the huge things about the iPhone when it launched in the United States, was that you didn't need to worry about all this other stuff because it was just there. You had your unlimited data, so you don't have to worry about how many voice messages you have, because visual voicemail goes through the data part. You don't need to worry about checking your email every 10 minutes or whatever. You don't need to worry about if you're in the car and just need to check something real quick. It was all handled. I mean, that's a huge selling point, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
And I've been seeing some of the comments from people about Rogers in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and the plans that they're having. And I actually came across, I'll have to go and find it, but I found a URL from someone that is so pissed off at Rogers that the URL itself explains just how angry they are, and you can't say it on primetime TV.
Okay.
So I'm expecting to see a lot of backlash from people when they realize just how limited their data access is going to be.
And, you know, I think that was one of the huge things for Rogers. And we all assume that the reason Canada never got the iPhone was because they don't traditionally offer unlimited data packages. But, you know, you were bringing up a really good point about people being reluctant to use their phone for looking things up. I think that that's really going to kill, you know, the statistics that we've seen already with the iPhone. I think it's what, like 80% of the people are browsing on their iPhone.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, a lot of it is casual browsing. You're not always doing something official that just has to be done and you don't care about how much it costs. You know, a lot of it is, hey, you know, what was that thing we were talking about? Oh, let me look that up in Wikipedia or something like that. You know, a majority of my stuff, when I go to look something up on my phone, is just random things on Wikipedia or Google or images or something like that. So I can't imagine, you know, having to worry about doing that. It'll definitely keep a lot of people from just, you know, casually browsing to these different things that, you know, aren't necessarily worthless. They're definitely, you know, things that people want to do with their phone. And that was one of the great things about the iPhone, is that you can just, I mean, you just have all this information with you as you go. So it's definitely a really crappy deal, I think.
I think so too. Now, I expect AT&T will not switch the data parts of their plans, and it'll still be unlimited data. And, you know, taking SMS messages away and making people pay for that separately, you know, that's one thing. But taking away that unlimited data that we've already had for a year in the United States, I think that would turn into just a fiasco for AT&T. And even though they can be just like total melon heads about the way they handle a lot of things. I have a feeling that they get just what a horrible mistake it would be to switch that on people now.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is going to be a problem for third-party applications because they're all going to be data intensive.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really know how much data is being sent when you're browsing a website. I mean, you know, if it's a big website and you can make a conscious decision if you want to watch this YouTube video or whatever you want to do, but an application is kind of unclear on how much data it's going to use. And if all of a sudden you get capped, that's going to be a backlash.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, one of those great things about the iPhone that you, you know, don't, you know, with other phones, you're always concerned about, okay, if I open this random application that I have on my phone, I don't know what it is, but it kind of sounds like it would cost me money. I don't want to open it. So that's one of the things that the iPhone sort of solved, where, you know what everything's doing, and you know that you're not going to be charged extra for, you know, just browsing to a website or anything like that. And like you said, with third-party applications, that's really just going to be terrible. You know, and YouTube and all of that. So I really hope that it works out for those people. And, you know, with the cap that I heard in at least one of the countries that has a data limit, they actually, I think you still get bandwidth, but you're just sort of, stepped back a tier. So you still get, you know, you can still access different pages and all of that, but it's just a lot slower. Jeff, did you hear anything about that? Or,
yeah, I've heard about that too. And you know what? That's just salt in the wound.
Yeah.
My feeling is that because of the type of device the iPhone is and the way it's intended to be used, by telling people, look, we're capping your data.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is telling people, you know, yeah, we'll sell you this device, but we don't really want you to use it.
It just feels like Apple's losing so much ground from the original iPhone launch. We had so many good things for us going. We had the, you know, the at-home activation. We had the unlimited data. We had, you know, this really sweet plan and a great phone, and it just everything on it worked. And now it's not looking good. It seemed like Apple was sort of making changes, and it's falling apart on them.
You know, I think that Apple had to make certain changes that that people in the United States especially are looking at going, holy crap, what we're losing now. The rest of the world may not be seeing it that way because, well, they haven't had the iPhone yet.
Right.
But I have a feeling that Apple had to agree to certain concessions to get the iPhone outside the United States and to have this massive 20 country launch on July 11th and then rolling out to 70 some odd markets before the end of the year. That doesn't happen by Apple saying, this is it, take it or leave it.
Right, yeah. And I think that's one of the big problems they had with the first launch, right? But they had a lot of setbacks because that's what they were doing with Orange and O2. And so it took a long time for them to negotiate something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a real pain, I'm sure, for everyone involved.
And they may be able to do better in the future when they renegotiate those contracts when they expire in 5 years, because by then the iPhone will have such a greater market share. Then go back to these companies and say, see, no, we're in charge now. You want us to take this away from you and give it to somebody else now that we have 17% of the iPhone of cell phone market share instead of 1%? I would go so far. I hate to say this out loud because I'm going to regret it, but if there really are tight caps on data, I can't imagine buying a 3G iPhone.
Yeah, I mean,
why would I do that? It's just barely an upgrade of a device. It's the same crappy battery. It's the same device. The only real advantage is faster internet from where I'm sitting. And if it's capped, what the hell's the point of faster internet? I'd rather have Edge that I can use 24/7.
Yeah.
So I can't see myself not buying a 3G iPhone, but boy, I could see that a lot of people thinking like me. Why? I was going to spend $200 for a minor upgrade just to have the new one, but if they're going to pull that crap, I'll keep my money and keep the old one.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends who were anticipating the new phone, and they've decided not to with the increase of on prices and all of that. And definitely for people who are in different countries who face, you know, data caps, I don't know if that's the norm over, you know, everywhere, but it's surely sucky for, you know, iPhone users because, you know, they want to just access the entire internet right there, wherever they are. So I'm a little more grateful.
I can't see it happening. That's why I feel safe saying I won't buy one if they do it, because I just can't imagine that they'll do it.
Well, I don't think I think that according during the conference call that AT&T had that evening after they announced the iPhone 3G, I'm pretty sure that they they said that the $30 data plan would be unlimited again. Jeff, did you listen to that?
I believe you're correct on that one.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure it's official on that, you know, that AT&T is going to have unlimited 3G data, just, you know, $10 more. The only thing that, you know, like I said before, that irks me is that you can't say, I'm not in a 3G area, I just want 2G. But we won't open that up again, because I think we ranted about it enough. And according to two mobile carriers, customers may be able to pre-register for the iPhone 3G in an attempt to alleviate, the first day signups. And the idea there would be that you can go into the store, sign your contract, pick your plan and all of that. And, the contract would be put on hold until the day that you go in, to get the device that you want. That sounds like a good idea to me. Even better if you can, you know, even do it on their website or something like that. But I'm still wondering if this is going to allow people to say, okay, I'm coming in here, here's my receipt for this, okay, you know, buy a phone and then leave, not even having to do the unbricking process there. So that would be good. I'm Jeff, what do you think about the pre-sign-up type thing?
You know, I'm thinking that as long as it goes smoothly, that will probably be a pretty cool thing, because it will allow people to avoid the lines, mm-hmm. for those that want to avoid the lines. I know for a lot of people, the actual standing in line and being there overnight or for several hours, whatever, is part of the whole experience, and that's really cool. But some people, they don't want that, but they want to have the device right away. This might be a way to do that, and I think it would also help the carriers gauge what type of interest that they can expect when the iPhone rolls out in their market.
Yeah. And so do you think that they'll allow activation from iTunes? Or, I mean, does this change your idea of, you know, the whole in-store activation as opposed to at home, you know, unbricking? Or does it kind of stay the same for you? You think it's going to be in-store and that's the only way?
My guess is that it would be one of those things where you can pre-order it, and then you get a phone call, an email, a postcard, whatever, that says your iPhone is ready. And if they're really smart, they'll even like set an appointment with you. Show up at 4:15 on Tuesday, and we'll have your iPhone ready. You show up. You don't have to wait in line. You walk up. They do the activation, and you walk out the door.
Okay.
That would be the way to do it.
So I'm still hoping for the option to activate at home, because, you know, with the iPhone right now, if you restore it, you have to activate the phone again, you know, with iTunes. And it seems like, because we reported on something earlier today, an activation memo from iPhone, I think it's a Canadian carrier, that had a leaked memo that said, you know, you're going to be doing the unbricking through iTunes. And they said, here's this, you know, beta version of iTunes that has the unbricking in it. I'm wondering, and from what I gathered from it, they'll have that. But, you know, the standard release of iTunes will also have that capability once it's available to everyone. So I'm wondering if, you know, you can convince them to not touch your iPhone, and you just say, here's my the contract and whatever. Or even if it just doesn't seem necessary for them to even take it out in the store if iTunes is going to have that ability. I don't know. Maybe it'll be optional or what. Nick, I know we haven't gotten your opinion on the whole activation in store type thing. What do you think of it?
Well, AT&T's goal is to get people activated. I mean, they want the contracts.
Right.
Actually, you want them on the contract. They don't necessarily care if you activate your phone or not. I mean, if you don't use it, they just make money on you. So I don't see there's any financial reason for AT&T to require you to do the actual activation in the store. I think the iTunes way to do it at home was a great way to do it, especially when you have a big launch day like they're probably anticipating on July 11th.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that maybe, so you think that it would be like an optional thing? You say, I want to have it activated here, just do it for me. Or, you know, I would prefer to do it at home on my own. Because I know that there are definitely people who would just say, no, please just do it for me here. I don't want to have to bother with it. But then there's the other demographic that would want to definitely open it, you know, on their own at their house, you know, with a bunch of friends and, you know, filming the thing. You know, those kind of crazy people. So,
and I think those people are going to be the ones who are bringing it, knocking on the door when they open the store on July 11th.
Yeah, definitely.
So it would make sense to, okay, let's just get rid of these people quickly and mm-hmm. Send them home and do their ceremonies at home. And then we can, as long as we get their credit card, we're fine.
Yeah, I think that they could definitely do it that way. You know, I don't even know if they would have to write down the IMEI number of the iPhone. They can just say, okay, here, you know, what's your Apple ID? Okay, here it is. And okay, now you have a contract sitting there ready for you to be activated to your phone, connected to your Apple ID. Just, you know, plug it into iTunes and iTunes already knows your Apple ID. And it says, okay, everything is good. There you go. And I think that, you know, even with the original iPhone, you did have to have an Apple ID for that. So I think that if they went that route, that would, you know, be totally fine. So I think, well, I'm hoping an optional activation in store would be available.
Although I think it's doubtful that they'll be able to pull that off in 20 countries, because there's got to be a pretty deep integration between iTunes and AT&T to make that happen. And doing that with 20 carriers internationally seems like a daunting task.
Yeah,
I have to agree. And actually, I have a little bit less of happy blue skies and hopping bunnies okay. view on how the activation process is going to go. All right, so what I think is going to happen is that when you buy the phone, it has to be activated before you leave the store.
So they're going to take out a big knife and they're just going to stab your box and just kind of, you know, can opener it open and...
Right, and they're going to stomp on it and, yeah. And
they're going to breathe on it wrong and all of that.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to sully the experience. But, okay, so the reason I think that it's going to require an in-store activation, and they probably will let you open your own box because people are going to freak out if they don't, because yeah. I think that the whole process is being managed or will be managed through the system that AT&T already has in place.
Yeah.
And their system is based on doing that in-store activation. And so I think it's going to require that. And then I think that when you go home and plug your iPhone in to your computer, that there will be a second process that happens that verifies that the iPhone with the contract that you just signed links to the appropriate Apple account that you have for the iTunes store and all of that. And then that way you will now be able to get access to the App Store. And it will bind the applications to your iPhone. And then I think it will also set everything up so that if you have to, like, totally nuke your iPhone and start over, that instead of having to go into a store for reactivation, it can say, oh, this has already been done, and flip the magic switch when you plug your iPhone into your computer.
Yeah, well, the one thing that keeps me from thinking that is going to have to happen is because, you know, they say you have to use iTunes to unbrick the phone. And so they, you know, in this little memo that I was looking at, the Canadian memo, I think it is, it says that you have to, you know, put it into this, and they refer to their, you know, their software that they use to activate phones and, you know, set up contracts and all that. They say, make sure everything is done in that application first before you, you know, go ahead and unbrick the phone. So that makes me think that those are two completely separate processes, and they have to make sure that they do one before the other. Otherwise, you have an unbricked phone, and you can do what you want with it. And so, I mean, who knows? It's just, we're going to have to wait and see. I'm hoping for the bunnies and the sunshine on this one.
I would love to see the bunnies and sunshine on this. And, but I'm preparing for the grimmer, dinosaurs stomping on bunnies scenario, so that if it comes out as the better scenario, I will be pleasantly surprised.
There you go. That's the best way to do it. An Italian news site believes that Apple may require an additional sign-up process for the App Store when you buy your iPhone 3G. And Jeff, I believe you you wrote this one up for TMO, right?
Right, I did.
So what's your take on this? Why would we need an additional sign-up for the App Store?
You know, actually, my take on it is the one I just explained, where it's not so much a second activation process as it is the process of linking your iPhone with your .Mac, MobileMe, you know, whatever account, so that the applications can bind to your phone.
Gotcha. So is it what about people with currently have an iPhone? Will we have to go through an extra process for that?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be now keep in mind, I have seen nothing about any of this. I'm doing the big wave of the arms in the air. Nothing. I'm basing this just on what seems to make sense to me. And so I think what will happen is that when the App Store launches, the next time that you plug your iPhone or iPod Touch into your computer and you have the new version of iTunes that you'll need to have for the App Store, that what will happen is it'll do the same thing that happens if you don't have an iTunes account in the beginning.
Yeah.
Where it says, hey, you know, you need to create your iTunes account.
Right.
And it'll come up and it'll say, hey, we need to update your iTunes account so you have access to the App Store.
Yeah.
And it'll be a pretty much transparent thing.
Okay. Nick, what do you think about the the App Store, and if you're going to have a separate activation, and is this going to be a big deal for people who go into the store and activate their phone on the first day? Because I think one of the things that was pointed out in the article is that it may deter, you know, potential buyers from, you know, going in there, because it may be so, you know, such a horrible process that you'd have to go through.
It seems very strange that Apple would do that. I mean, if you look at iTunes, and especially iTunes on the iPhone, it's such a seamless process, and that's why it's such a success. You just click, tap, done, and you just spent money.
Right.
And Apple just made money. Why would they put up barriers to make it more difficult to give Apple money? That just seems very bizarre. So I think it's just going to be the regular iTunes account. Mm-hmm. You have an iTunes account, and then go ahead, purchase videos, purchase music, purchase apps. Give us money.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to look at it. You know, I think that, you know, Apple will actually allow people, if you have regardless of if you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch or not, I think people will still be able to access the App Store from iTunes like they're planning to have. I think it's just a matter of, okay, when it comes down to downloading this app, you're going to have an iTunes account. And if you go in there and you say, okay, buy app, and this is the very first time that you've ever done that, it'll say, oh, okay, we'll log in with your iTunes account. And if you don't have one, hit this register button and we'll get you set up. So I think that, you know, if there is going to be a separate process, which I don't think there will be, because, you know, the first iPhone required an iTunes account anyway, I think that that's just all going to be sort of lumped in. So if I think you're not going to have to do anything besides, you know, having an iTunes/Apple account for that sort of thing.
This is Apple's fault for announcing so few details and then staying basically this quiet period until the iPhone launches. It means anyone can come along and say anything, make something up, claim to have a source, and it's like we sort of have to go on it because Apple isn't saying anything to the contrary. And it always happens like this. They're so quiet that it just opens up a feeding frenzy. Everyone from analysts to rumor sites to just people named Chuck can just make up anything and it'll float and it'll get some traffic. And a few of them are probably true, but you don't really know which ones.
It's equally frustrating for us developers. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with the app stores either. And a lot of companies have spent lots of money building apps and they don't really know how that's going to work.
Yeah, they're just hoping that Apple is going to, you know, make it correct and that everything's going to work out. But, you know, we don't have all of those details that we need to know. So it's kind of difficult to get in on it.
Well, why don't we just make up our own then? We'll say something like, here we go. So I was chatting with Bill Palmer the other day, and he was channeling Apple engineers through that special implant he has. And what he told me was that everyone that goes in has to submit a retinal scan. And from that's how we will activate all of our applications on our iPhone. And so now that I've said that, tomorrow, start watching Dig. We'll see someone writing an article about it. And by the end of the week, instead of it being something about, okay, so Jeff just said this really lame thing where he claimed Bill told him this other thing, it'll be showing up on like MarketWatch or something as as fact.
I'd be tickled if that happened.
Isn't that the way analysts usually do their job? And Jeff, you did say retinal, right?
Oh yes, retinal.
Okay, because yes. I thought you were going somewhere else, and I thought, wow, that's low for me.
I'm keeping it sanitary.
Yeah. And speaking of analysts, Piper Jaffray is at it again.
Sorry.
I'm not going there. I didn't catch
Never
it. Never
mind.
Yeah, okay.
I just scripted an entire South Park episode in my head, just so you know.
You did okay. Say retinal scan, right? Yes, I'm not going to go explicit. And speaking of analysts, what?
Right. Okay. Piper Jaffray, our favorite, Apple analyst, is saying that Apple may actually offer an unsubsidized version of the iPhone and that it could account for 15% of AT&T's sales. According to him, it would be around $600 because Apple is paying, AT&T is paying about $425 per unit, for the subsidy. There's been a lot of talk about, having to sign up for a contract when you get the iPhone and how that's going to affect the unlocking community and how people just don't simply want to do that because, they've had it the other way with the first iPhone. What do we think about, unsubsidized phones? Do you think that AT&T is going to allow it? And, you on the one hand you have AT&T is paying a certain amount of money to Apple to get the price down on the phone, and then you'd think that it's fair if they just put it out there at full price without the subsidy. But on the other hand, you have AT&T expecting a whole bunch of service charges, and that's why they subsidized the phone in the first place. Do you think we're going to see an unsubsidized phone in the U.S. or even anywhere, Jeff?
I'm thinking no unsubsidized phone in the United States, and that's because AT&T likes to keep the purse strings really tight.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to me to do that. Now, I could see AT&T selling a phone that has less of a subsidy. Like maybe have a sliding scale sort of thing. And if you want to do a pay-as-you-go type contract, then you end up paying $400, $500, whatever dollars for an 8-gigabyte iPhone. But just selling a flat-out unsubsidized phone, I don't see that, especially because you know what's going to happen. If you can get an unsubsidized and walk out of the store without a contract, and if you can do that, now you can resell the phone unlocked on the gray market for $1,000 or whatever.
Right, yeah. Well, Bill, what do you think of it?
I'm reading this on your site, right? I mean, this analyst is saying that 53%, more than half of people who are going to buy an iPhone are going to refuse to sign a contract. I don't know what, maybe in another country where people don't sign contracts, but we've all been taught in this country to bend over and take it from the cell phone companies to sign
right.
a contract. It's like when I was getting my apartment, right? There were some really crappy apartments down on the other side of town that I could have gotten monthly, which means I could have bailed on. But I went in the good place. I didn't want to have to sign a year lease, but I did what I had to because they got the good apartments. So I didn't want to live down in the ghetto. And it's the same thing here. 53%, I would think maybe 5.3%. The people, it's also like, I don't know. I just can't wrap my head around the idea that half the country is going to refuse. It's just AT&T. It's not like you have to start using heroin to use an iPhone. AT&T isn't quite that bad, certainly not as enjoyable from what I've been told. But I don't know. To me, this is just another sort of what I said before of analysts just making up crap and they can get away with it because it's such a vacuum because Apple is not telling us what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for all you people that are getting ready to write the stories, remember it was retinal.
heroin, retinal?
Retinal. Okay. So, oh, wait. So now we've added into the retinal scans some sort of heroin deal, too. I can't wait to see how this article looks when it hits a BBC.
That is the whole point. If everyone else is making up cheap crap for rumors, I think iPhone Alley should do it, too. Why not?
I don't know. I think we're going to try and stay away from the cheap crap rumors, unless it's coming from you guys on the podcast.
Oh, believe me, there's lots more crap where that came from.
And that's why we have you on.
It's so is this a rat hole? Have we reached one of those?
Yeah, we do, but we don't have any rat hole music because I think that's Merlin Mann's. So, although I do have it. I've never gotten permission from him, so I won't use it. If I do get permission, I'll certainly use the rat hole music. So everybody in TalkShoe right now, we're about to move on to our iPhone picks, and I just wanted to let everyone know that you're welcome to call in, ask us a question. You know, if you have a problem with your iPhone, or you want to bring up a story, or you want to comment on any of the things that we talked about, you can go ahead and queue up in TalkShoe. I see that we have three callers. If you want to talk, just hit the little queue up button in the TalkShoe thing, the TalkShoe client. And so if you want to talk, hit that and we'll know. And after our iPhone picks, we'll open up the podcast for calls. And with that, we will do our iPhone picks. Jeff, do you have an iPhone pick?
I do. And this is so not what most people would expect. But my iPhone pick today is a ferrite core for my for the audio cables going from my MacBook Pro out to my speakers. I went to Radio Shack and picked up some ferrite cores so that I could reduce the amount of chatter that comes through my external speakers from my iPhone.
Okay.
And it's, I need to go get a couple more cores because it hasn't completely eliminated the buzzing, but it reduced it dramatically. I was really impressed.
So could you explain to those who don't know what this this looks like?
Okay, so this looks sort of like a horse pill, but it's a little plastic shell that looks like a tube, and it snaps open, and it has a slot running right down the middle. You lay the cord, in this case the cord for my speaker, or the audio cable that goes from my MacBook Pro out to my speakers, lay that in there. Snap it closed, and then that helps reduce the interference that comes from my cell phone and helps cut down the buzzing from the speakers. I put another one on the wire that goes from the primary speaker to the secondary speaker, so from my left channel to my right channel, to help cut down the chatter that would be picked up by that wire acting as an antenna. And then I bought another one that I put on the power cord to help eliminate the buzz from that could come in from there too.
Cool. So I'm obviously not an electronics geek. Is that what we're seeing? What I see when I look at the cords, and every once in a while you'll on some random, I don't know what cord, but it would have just like a weird little lump.
Yeah, like when you get a USB cable that looks like it has a big old tumor in it.
Yeah.
Or like one of the VGA monitor cables.
Right. Right.
And all of a sudden you just have this big barrel shaped thing right near one of the ends of the cable. Mm-hmm. There's a ferrite core that's been wrapped around the wires in there to help reduce the radio interference.
Cool.
And so what I ended up picking up, what I put on my main wires, it's a two-pack, and Radio Shack calls it Snap Choke Core, package of two, and it was $2.99.
Awesome. I think that'd be something that a lot of people would be willing to invest in if they have speakers that they want to play their iPhone through.
Yeah, and actually I've been pleased enough with my experiment that I decided it's going to be my Monday morning quick tip at the Mac Observer.
Cool. That's a very good pick. And it's cheap too. And very
it's
useful.
Cheap.
Okay, Nick, do you have an iPhone pick for us?
I do. One of the challenges as a developer on the iPhone is the access to maps. You can launch the Maps application, but you can just put one pinpoint on it and not put many, as you would like to see, all your coffee shops or anything in your vicinity.
Gotcha.
So I came across this website, which is a beginning to something like this. It's Yahoo Maps for the iPhone. And the URL is maps.mobi1.ro. It's a company in Romania, apparently, who started doing something here. It's not as nice UI as the built-in Maps app, but it's a start.
Excellent. So you can. So what are the advantages to that one over the built-in Maps then?
Well, the problem with the built-in Maps, say I have an application that shows the hotels in your vicinity.
Right.
I have to build that map application from scratch.
Okay.
Because I cannot call the built-in Maps. I can show my one location, which is not very useful. I want to show the 10 hotels in the vicinity, and
so,
you can.
So instead of doing it that way, you would actually ask for a URL to that site.
That could be one way to do it. There are other ways, elegant ways you can integrate a web page inside your application seamlessly as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Very cool. And Bill, what is your iPhone pick?
Well, you know, struggled to come up with software or hardware this week because it's kind of the quiet before the storm. But I should say that the reason I walked out of that bar last night with that pang is because I was distracted because I actually been sitting at the bar interviewing this brilliant soul singer named Kirsten Price from the UK, and she was an iPhone user, and I asked her if she's going to buy a 3G iPhone when it comes out next month, and she said no because she likes her current iPhone so much because it reminds her so much of an old school device from like the original Star Trek series. And I don't know, I almost fell off my chair when she said that. And then she changed it to Star Wars and back to Star Trek. And I just because of that and because her album is just stunning and it's just one of those interviews, I'm like, I gotta have this interview. So anyway, my pick for the week is her album, which is in iTunes, and it doesn't come out on a CD till next week, but it's already in iTunes now. So I guess music still plays on the iPhone, right?
Yeah, I believe it's the best iPod that Apple has created, according to Steve Jobs.
I just want to make sure AT&T hasn't taken that away from the new iPhone.
Yeah, thankfully we still have that. And what is the album called?
It's called Guts and Garbage, which is an interesting album name. That's what it's called.
But it comes highly highly recommended from Bill Palmer. So, and my iPhone pick is another content pick, and I think that we're going to just start doing that, you know? I mean, content is one of those things that you always need for your iPhone because you have, you know, movies, TV shows, and music and all of that. So I think, you know, even audiobooks too. But so my pick is a TV show called Weeds, which... And from that laugh, I'm assuming that you've seen it as well. I just got into it recently, and it is extremely addicting. As you may have guessed from the name of the show, if you haven't seen it already, it's about this woman who is recently widowed, living in an affluent Southern California gated community, who decides that she needs to start selling marijuana to get by. And so it's really, really interesting. I think right now they're in their fourth season. It's definitely not for kids. It's a Showtime show. So, I mean, that should explain it right there. But it's really good, really well done, very funny. Like I said before, it's very addicting, and you can get, the first three seasons on iTunes. I got the first two on iTunes because I couldn't find it anywhere else, on the web that had any sort of, you know, good quick speed to watch it on, and I think that's the first TV season that I've actually bought on my Apple TV. It was, you know, very cool to do that. So if you've never done, you know, that before, it's highly recommended show. You can of course buy the episodes individually, and I don't think you get any sort of special discount if you buy the season. But you know, definitely check out Weeds if you think that would be interesting.
All right, Michael, I have another show for you then.
Okay.
And available on iTunes, and it's another Showtime program.
All right.
Dexter.
Oh, yeah. I've heard a lot about that.
I am so addicted to Dexter. I bought all of season one, and I've bought part of season two. So if anyone has seen all of season two, don't spoil it for me. Don't tell me what's going to happen. But for people that don't know what Dexter is, the premise of the show is you have this guy who's a blood spatter expert for the Miami Police Department, and his sister works at the police department as a homicide detective. Oh, by the way, this guy's a serial killer. And It just so happens that the people that he kills are the bad guys that manage to slip through the legal system. Ah. So, you know, here's this horribly evil person that is suddenly very likable, and you end up watching the show and going, okay, well, I can see why he would want to kill that person. Now, killing's wrong, but gosh, that guy really deserves it. And it's just an incredibly well-written, well-acted show, and I've been absolutely riveted to it, so much so that I actually went out and bought the first two books that the show is based on.
Cool. Well, I don't know if I need to get addicted to another show. I've had so many recommendations, but you know, I'll definitely check it out at some point. Is it on Hulu by any chance?
I have not bothered to check. My assumption, though, is if it's on Hulu, it will be the edited versions that have been showing on one of the regular network channels. And the edited versions you don't want to watch, because they cut out so much critical information that you can actually be lost going through an episode.
Interesting. Okay.
See, I'm actually waiting for them to come out with a show about a serial killer or a suburban drug dealer. It's four kids. Just twist it around. We've got serial killer as good guy. Let's serial killer four kids. I'm sure it can be done. I don't have that talent, but that's my challenge to the community.
It wouldn't be as rich as it is on Showtime. I do have to say there's a little bit too much sex going on in Weeds in some episodes for my tastes, but it's definitely a good show. But like I said, not for the kids. And with that, we have one call on the talk shoe, so I'll see if I can get that to go. Hey, Neil?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. On the podcast.
Thanks.
Why do you think Apple... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Why do you think Apple has decided to not include or prioritize trivial features like MMS, HUDP, and video capture, or add more advanced smartphone features like copy and paste? And how is this compared to features that were really wanted when the iPod first came out, like radio, transmission, and receive?
Okay. Jeff, do you have any thoughts on that?
Sure. Of course, I always have thoughts on stuff like this. All right. So my guess is that Apple chose to leave out certain specific features because they don't think that they're features that people want in high enough quantities, meaning not enough people are really interested in that. And I'll use the radio feature as an example. So when the iPod came out, other products were coming out, and they're saying, well, we have an FM radio transmitter and the iPod doesn't. And ultimately, that hasn't mattered. Apple even released their little FM radio receiver that you can add onto an iPod, and I don't think it's actually selling that well. I don't have actual numbers.
I doubt that it would.
But I think that's one of those features where Apple has really looked at it and thought, okay, so people think they really want this feature, but in reality, not that many people are using it, therefore we won't put it on. And so I think that's happening with a lot of the features that we aren't seeing. And then I think there's others that we can all just sit there and slap our heads and never figure out why it's not there. And the copy and paste is a perfect example.
Yeah.
My guess is that the reason it's not there is because Apple has been focusing on other features, and they just haven't thrown resources at that yet, even though it's a feature that we've been clamoring for since day one.
Well, it definitely seems like a good feature to have in the 2.0 release, as well as video capture and MMS. And I think that... you know, this may be part of your approach to this is that, you know, Apple doesn't think that it's that big of a deal and that big of a feature, and that they're just, you know, there are going to be so many people who won't really care that isn't there, that they're just going to buy the iPhone anyway. I still think that it's a, you know, it's a big deal for a lot of people who are used to sending MMS, or, you know, obviously the iPhone is completely capable of capturing video. And, you know, so that sort of thing, and especially copy and paste, that's something that just everybody needs. I'm sure Steve Jobs, you know, hits himself once a day in the forehead saying, I really wish I could just copy and paste this thing.
You know, Steve may not be hitting himself in the forehead for that one, because he probably has some assistant following him around, and all he has to do is say, write this down. And so he has a bio copy and paste following him everywhere.
True.
But for the rest of us, yeah, we really need that feature. And for me, it's a real problem not having copy and paste, especially if I have, like, say, several URLs that I want to send to a single person. I don't want to have to send them an email for each one of those URLs.
Yeah, definitely. So to answer the question, why do we think that Apple hasn't put those in there? I think that the unanimous agreement here is that they just don't have the resources for it right now because they're working on other things. Is that what we're going to say?
You know, I'll say it's that, and that there are certain features that Apple simply does not care to add.
Such as the MMS.
Such as the MMS. Regardless of whether or not they have the resources to throw at the issue or the feature, I don't think Apple really cares to put MMS on the iPhone.
Okay. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I just want to say about... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I think in the last year, the resources they have for iPhone programming has been dedicated to the developer program and getting the iPhone ready for third-party apps. Once the App Store opens and there's going to be hundreds of apps out there, they're going to pick up some of the slack, some things they can't do, like cut and paste. But in terms of overall features on the iPhone, some of these missing things are not going to be as missing because there's so much else to focus on.
Yeah. And then Apple can certainly, you know, rest a little easier because they have gotten this out there, and, you know, maybe they'll have to work on some tweaks and bugs and all of that. But I think for the most part, they're going to have a lot more resources ready to address those other problems, because the third party development stuff was, you know, I think the number one thing that everybody was upset about until they finally said, okay, we're going to do it. And so I guess they're just taking this each problem at, you know, how many people are looking for this this feature and addressing it in that order, because you know, they only have so many people and so much time to work on each thing. So hopefully we'll see that soon. And Bill, you said you wanted to say something.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is that Apple or any company has to be really careful to distinguish the difference between a lot of people having an opinion about it, which it appears that a lot of people would like to have copy and paste. That's why a lot of noise. But the FM radio thing turned out to be a very small number of people screaming at the top of their lungs in the hopes of appearing to be a much larger group. And if Apple had fallen for that and built that in, I think iPod sales would have been hurt a lot. A big, clunky, larger, bulkier device with, you know, that the other 85% of us or whatever didn't really want. So, you know, Apple may hesitate. They say, well, let's let it play out for a while and see if this really is a large number of people or just a handful of people with megaphones trying to, you know, trick us into thinking they're the majority.
Okay. So, Neil, is that work for you? You still there, Neil?
Oh, great. Yeah, put him to sleep.
Do you have any other comments you want to add to that?
How badly do you think some of these features are hurting iPhone sales? Because I know people who just flat out won't buy one because it doesn't have MMS.
Well, you know, I think that it definitely hurts the sales for those kind of people. But a majority of everyone, you know, we made a big deal out of this that, you know, a lot of the features on phones aren't used by people. And I think that Steve said that 90% of people using iPhones, they're using 10 applications, at least 10 applications on their phone. And so that's, you know, that's huge for any phone, because the iPhone is so much easier to use. You know, you may only use two or three things on a normal phone because it's just so much more difficult to figure out how to get going. And I think that a majority, and I'm going to probably sound bad when I say this, but I think that a majority of the people who send MMS stuff are teenagers and people who, you know, who kind of get this more, and it's not that big of a deal to a lot of other people. That said, I don't know if, businessmen regularly send out, pictures of their cat or whatever, over MMS to all of their friends. Like I said, I've never used MMS. I've never seen a real use for it. I don't think it's going to affect it that much. There are certainly other features, and this is a total cop out, but there are definitely other features that the iPhone doesn't have that, people are, upset about, and they won't get the iPhone because of, that issue that they have with the iPhone as well. So I think that, like Jeff said, I'm kind of warming up to the idea that maybe Apple just doesn't care about MMS because they have email already.
Also, I think that the number of iPhone sales that Apple loses because the MMS feature isn't there, I think that's hurting Apple in the same way that a hangnail hurts someone. It's an annoyance, and if you ignore it, it's going to go away anyhow. So I really think that Apple really could care less about the sales they're losing to people that want MMS, but it's not there. I think it's absolutely negligible to Apple's grand scheme.
So do we think that the reason that Apple isn't putting it in there, because it would be pretty easy for them to put it in there. Do we think that the reason is just because they wouldn't be making any money off of it?
I don't think Apple makes money off of the text messages that go through the iPhone.
I wouldn't think they would either.
So I think that money is not playing into it at all. Now,
okay,
some of it might be coming originally from AT&T saying, if you put this in, we're going to lose money, in their magic little formulas that they have in Excel. They'll think they're losing money because they can't charge for as many messages.
Right.
And so, Apple might have said, okay, fine, whatever, we won't put the feature in. And when they decided not to put the feature in, then it was even easier to say, screw it. We're not even going to worry about developing this down the road.
Okay. All right. So, Neil, do you have any other further questions, or is that good for you?
That's good.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thanks a lot for calling in.
No problem.
And so I think with that, actually, we have one other caller. Bernie is calling in, so he's a moderator on the forums, so I'm going to let him talk. Hey, Bernie.
Oh, you go. Let me talk. Cool.
Don't send your missiles towards us.
No, I'm a Palm user, okay? And I store information in my Palm. I know that StyleTap, they did this Palm hack, and I was just hoping that Apple would approve the note type or improve their note type application to where I could actually store information on my iPhone and not have to carry two devices. What do you think?
That is one of those huge, what the heck problems that the iPhone has right now, that I don't think anybody understands why we can't sync our notes back and forth on the iPhone. And, when Apple introduced the new notes feature in Mail for Leopard, that was sort of that works great for, the application, Mail itself right there on your Mac. But, when Apple says, oh, and yeah, you can sync your notes between your iPhone and your Mac, just, that, because it's by nature of it being Mail, that's kind of a cop out on Apple's part, partly because it has nothing to do with that integrated Maps or Notes rather application on your phone. That, and it's clunky to do it that way. You don't have the synchronization. So I think that Apple definitely needs to do something with Notes, and that's not a problem at all. They're not going to lose any money. It's at the point where it could be just like a little bit that they would flip, because it's just one more piece of information that they would sync back and forth through the iTunes sync. They already sync it with the backup feature that they have. You'd think that you would have, just a folder where all of those notes are saved in rich text or something, really simple like that. Like they do with the iPod right now. You just, save a text document into a directory on your iPod, and there you have it. So I think that that's definitely something that Apple needs to do, and there's no reason why they shouldn't do it. So I'm hoping
Apple knows how to do it.
Yeah, they know how to do it.
Harris wrote the desktop application that Palm is based on.
Yeah, so it makes no sense why they don't have it right now, and hopefully they have it in the 2.0 software. It's not something that a third party developer could resolve, and it's non-trivial.
Well, that's my rant, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Well, thank you, Bernie.
Talk to you later.
Is there any possibility that this is something that's in 2.0 that we just don't know about?
You know, that could be. It's not something, you know, who knows why they would hide it, you know.
I'd be promoting the heck out of it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It could be. And so here I put on the blue skies and rainbows and happy bunny thing again. It could be that these are features that Apple fully intends to release with iPhone 2.0, but at the developers conference, they didn't have the features developed in the way that Steve Jobs felt comfortable discussing yet. And so it could be that when 2.0 actually hits on July 11th, we can all sit back and go, holy crap, look at all these great things that we didn't even know were really going to be there. That's happy bunnies running around, and that's what I'm hoping for.
I'm all about the happy bunnies and sunshine and rainbows.
Oh, yeah.
So, is that a show on Showtime as well? Can I download that?
No, that would be a show that Showtime carries. I think that's the complete opposite of what Showtime would do.
That's after you watch Weeds, and then you need... Never mind.
Yeah, it runs right between Weeds and Dexter.
Right, yeah. You get the break from the two, and you get the happy bunnies, and you know, you go back to the crazy show. Yeah, so that's it. Do you have any other questions, Bernie? Oh, no, he hopped off. So I'm going to say no. So with that, I think we're going to wrap it up because I got a birthday party to go out to. So
is it your birthday?
Not my birthday. It's a friend's birthday. So and he's buying everybody dinner.
Oh, what time should we be there?
9:30.
Great.
I'm on a plane. Free dinner? Shoot. I'll buy a ticket.
All right.
Chicago.
Once again, that is Mr. Bill Palmer talking, and he's joining us from iProng magazine at iProng.com, and he's on Twitter at twitter.com/BillPalmer. And I know that Weezer isn't going to make it on the cover for this issue. Who is on the cover?
We got Three Doors Down coming out on Tuesday.
Cool. And you can find Jeff Gamet on the Mac Observer and Mac Observer, well, at MacObserver.com and Twitter at twitter.com/JGamet. And that's J-G-A-M-E-T, in case you don't know how to spell his last name. And, of course, Mr. Nick Dalton from Elance. Well, he's not really from Elance. He's doing some work for Elance, but he's our guest iPhone developer. And where can we find you on the web? We can find some more information about you or get a hold of you to have you write an application for us.
You can go to my blog at iPhoneIncubator.com/blog.
Great. And do you have a Twitter account by any chance?
I do not. I am too old for Twitter.
You're never too old for Twitter. You know, these guys have them. Jeff and Bill have them, but they're not that old.
You know, I'm 87.
I'm trying to save myself because I kind of backed myself into a hole right there, or backed into a corner. What's that URL again?
It's iPhoneIncubator.com/blog to go to my blog.
Great. And so if you have any iPhone applications you want developed, check that out. And bandwidth for the iPhone LA podcast is graciously provided by CashFly at cashfly.com. And for the latest news, tips, and reviews, all that stuff, check it out, iPhoneLA.com. That's our website. And you can get the show notes for this show at iPhoneLA.com/podcast. And right now we are running a contest to win a free 16-gigabyte iPhone 3G on us. And the way that works is you just have to be registered on our site, so that registers you in the forums, and so you can comment on stories and all of that. But the idea is every time you make a post in our forums, you will you'll be entered in into the contest. And so every time you make an entry, which is a post, your odds of winning increase. And check that out. It's we're running it until July 16th at midnight is when the contest ends. And make sure that, you know, whenever you post something, it has to be, you know, of substance, and it can't be just, you know, garbage. It can't just be like, hi, this is my entry into the contest. But yeah, you can get more details on that at our site. We have a little image of a win a free iPhone 3G on the homepage. You can click on that, and if you can't find that picture, then we'll be putting it in the show notes, so you can get all the details on that and hop in and join the fun. And also, I should mention that we are having a we're looking for people to send us a theme song for our, you know, for the opening of the podcast. Right now, we have something that's just standard from GarageBand, so we would like to have something nice and custom. So we're looking for something kind of rocky and good for an opening for a podcast. And so if you have any talent and you'd like to send that in, we'll take a look at it, and when we get one that we like, we'll use it. So you can send your submissions in by emailing podcast@iphonealley.com. If you use the comment form or the contact us form on the site, you can't attach any files. So just use email podcast@iphonealley.com. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can also use podcast@iphonealley.com. Also, check us out on iTunes. Leave us a review. We love those. And subscribe and tell your friends. So we, we love it when we get more listeners, because, that's what bumps us up in the numbers. So there you go. I think that's everything we have for you. Another episode of the iPhone Alley podcast is out the door.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right?
So, Jeff, I just got that URL that you sent me in iChat.
Oh, good. now you can see why I chose not to say it.
Oh, a stylus,
yeah,
right?
Well, it's not like you've, never said that on the show before. It's kind of more fun if we have to bleep you out.
No.
Oh, well, if you want to bleep me out, I'll go ahead and tell it to everyone.
Sure.
No.
All right. For everyone playing at home, go visit
www.rogers.com.
All right.
And I said it with a smile on my face, too, just to make it sound happier.
Good job. It did sound happier.
Excellent.
Made up.
One of these days, we're going to use your version of that, Jeff.
You know, it's bound to be a classic, I'm sure.
It will be.